comes close.
If you have a deep prospect pool, which I believe we do, you're more open to moving that pick, but then it's still a valuable pick. You know you're going to get a good player. You have to be willing to weigh what are the options out there. Is it good enough to make that decision? In saying that now, I've told every team in the league that we are wide open to considering moving pick 11. We're wide open to consider anything, to be honest with you, prospects, if we think it's going to help our team. We're having those conversations right now. I've talked to every team around us that we're open to, hey, we'd even look to move up. That's not always easy to do, but I think we have the assets to do that. We're very open to moving back. And depending how the draft slides and, where guys are going. So all of that's on the table. These conversations have been going on for a few weeks.
Will they make the pick at number 11? Welcome into Sabres Live. There is a Stanley Cup Final Game 6 happening tonight, and there's draft discussion, of course, so much so, Marty, that we are going to rely on a show expert.
Yes.
To put it all in perspective about 15 minutes from now as to what Buffalo is likely to do. All I can say is I'm bringing the intensity today.
Yeah, no, intensity, that's something I would probably work into my English language. But I'll bring the intensity. You bring the intensity and the knowledge. We'll leave that to our guests because they are the hockey experts, as Daniel and Bruce of Joy Wave said, a great list of hockey experts on Sabres Live today. So looking forward to his visit. It's always fun. He's very entertaining. Big Sabres fan and big Rochester Americans fan. And I love those people that are in different, genre of life. He's in music, but still there's that sports and hockey love definitely associated with him.
Permanent Pleasure is their latest album, came out a month ago, and I can't help but think it had to be rooted in sports. He just wants permanent pleasure. Like, the ultimate joy, it'll last forever, right? Win.
100%. Like, I would think if I wrote a song right now, I'd be like trying to make a sports song and it would be so bad, right? But if you're not...
Can you try over the weekend, please?
Oh my God. I'm gonna go to AI on my computer and say, write us a country song with hockey lyrics in it. Let's see. Like, let's make it happen.
Okay. Back to the address of the media yesterday.
Yeah.
Kevin Adams, Jerry Fortin, representing the Sabres, and you heard the overall soundbite. I think that's a good way to, full overview of what could happen. Has anything changed for you? And it's often based on what you hear and especially in this case, what has happened this week already, transactions made by other teams. Has anything changed as far as how you think next Friday will play out in Vegas for the Sabres?
Because Pierre-Luc Dubois got traded, and it's one of those situations where you're like, that is never going to happen. And boom, it did happen. And it was very, very unexpected to me to see that happen. Now, Patrick Laine is leading the conversation. And Don Waddell in Columbus actually talked to the media yesterday. He didn't say, yeah, we're looking to unload Patrick Laine. We're willing to retain salary. Does that the other thing? No, he said, we're looking to make a hockey trade. Like, he's not looking at Patrick Laine as a diminishing asset that he has to unload and retain $3-4 million on the 8.7 that he's making per year. It's more like, no, we're making a hockey trade. So when Kevin Adams say we're open for business, everything is on the table, that tells me two things. One is that he has now talked to all the teams, and he will do it over and over again, that he probably has some crazy ideas and players that we would never expect being discussed in those conversations, brought up and talked about. And maybe there's a Patrick Laine conversation with Don Waddell. I don't know if it's a 2-second conversation, a 2-minute conversation, or we'll get a second call on it type of thing. But open to business, everything's on the table, to me tells me that he will be looking at everything. I'm not saying he was in on Pierre-Luc Dubois and probably wouldn't have been a good fit here in Buffalo, but you know what? I'm sure he knew that something was going to happen in that sense, because he probably talked to Rob Blake, probably talked to you know, the Washington crew over there and seeing what was happening.
So in a shorter version, what do you think is going to happen next Friday?
I don't think they make that pick at 11. I really don't. Because I think that's the thing is that, again, I'm open for business. Everything's on the table means bring me whatever. Don't like not pick up the phone and say, I'm not calling Kevin Adams because that's going to, it's going to sound crazy. And I'm not going to waste my time. No, call. Let's see what happens. Let's develop that conversation. So I think 11 is going to be a bye type of situation. They're going to either get something in return that they can flip around or something that's going to help them right now. I'm not saying that you trade 11 and all of a sudden you have a top six forward, but maybe you're trading 11. You're bringing in something that in day two gets moved for something else. Like that's where I think we're open for everything comes into play.
You mentioned Columbus. So just want to mention this briefly here, but Don Waddell has made his first signing as general manager of the Blue Jackets, Yegor Chinnikov. And remember that this is part of the reason why I'm often just a little bit more bullish on the Blue Jackets than what some people are. They showed some really fine young talent again last year. But it gets suppressed. And then some when, you know, the team is where it's at ultimately. But Yegor Chinnikov just got a 2-year, $4.2 million contract, so 2.1 per. And it's an interesting little bridge here, right? Chinnikov had 16 and 53 games last year.
Yeah.
But he was a first rounder in 2020. So, you know, he doesn't have a ton of NHL games under his belt at 145, but he's just another of the players that you, I think, reasonably could expect to continue on the upswing here from a Jackets.
That's a cheap contract. That's a cheap contract.
But it's short. And again, I reference the games played is not very high, but, you know, Voronkov, who was questionable to even stay in North America at the start of last year, ended up playing the whole season, had 18 goals. And of course, the star of the group at this point in time is Kirill Marchenko. But the three of them together, I think, absolutely met expectations last year. So, you know, depending on how this line A domino falls and what kind of health they get, and you know, the other part of the Columbus story here, not to belabor it, but Don Waddell said that Merzlikins is not being bought out, he's not being traded, he's staying. So that, you know, I think it's reasonable to assume just him and Jett Greaves, right? As the tandem.
Well, Waddell explored.
I mean, Tarasov could, but I'm, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, He's asking us all about Tarasov, but I would think Tarasov would be the odd man out.
Right.
Waddell was asked about Merzlikins when he first took the job in Columbus and said, when I was with Carolina, I wanted to bring him in. I wanted to make the deal for Merzlikins. I think he's very high on Merzlikins. But just to go to Chinnikov quickly, $2.1 million a year for 2 years. This is a guy that, if he had played a full 82 games, would have gotten 22, 23, maybe 25 goals in the season. You know, he was on that pace. Like $2.1 million is a cheap contract for Chinnikov. I get it's 2 years and then he may hit it big. He's still young and has an ability to build up his resume right now. But I don't want to compare apples and oranges or whatnot because they're different types of player. But Jordan Greenway is a $3 million player. Like, can Jordan Greenway get 25 goals? Like, I mean, that's what Chinnikov is going to do with Columbus. That's the high value of him as a player and the really low number, I think it is, for the Columbus Blue Jackets to have him on at $2.1 million. We talked about, well, Columbus. Okay, so Columbus, Don Waddell is open for business, right? Wants to make a hockey move on Patrick Laine. Merzlikins, which I have mentioned it many times. I think Merzlikins is a really good goaltender in a bad situation. You know, personally, there was a couple of tough years, loss of his good friend. And just not, you know, you go from Torts as a coach that's super defensive, to Brad Larson, a first-year coach that, yeah, okay, it didn't work as well, to Mike Babcock. No, not Babcock, Pascal Vincent. There's a lot that has happened there. Yes. I think Merzlikins, okay, you bring in a very experienced coach like Todd McLellan or Gerard Gallant or Dean Evason or whatever, and all of a sudden, you know, you're a goaltender, you're saying, this is going to be a lot better. I'm liking this situation. And I think Merzlikins has a ton of talent. So Columbus is getting better. Ottawa, there's rumors that they're going to trade Jacob Chychrun. If they do, they're going to get something in return that's significant, in my opinion. They're still looking for a goalie. Maybe that's Linus Ullmark. We'll discuss that next week for sure when we're in Vegas.
Well, Shayna's probably going to drop some Shayna, words of wisdom
on
it too.
Yeah, Shayna will have that too.
Yeah.
And I, you know, the Flyers, who were in the playoffs spot for the major part of this year, fell off at the end. They are open for business as well. Danny Briere's talked about it. There's a lot of rumors happening right now when it comes to the Flyers. Some actually like may link them with the Buffalo Sabres, with other teams. Ottawa,
oh, do tell.
Philadelphia has been linked together. So
the audience wants to know.
On what? On the
Philadelphia being linked to Buffalo.
Okay, well, so this was yesterday. It was, and I got to find it absolutely on social media right now because I don't want to mischaracterize it. But I think it's Christopher. I got it here. Give me a second here. Because
this is real-time research.
I know it's real-time, but it's terrible timing.
And by the way, can you believe how good my Wi-Fi is from a tent right now? Like, seriously, not to jinx anything, but this is pretty awesome.
Yeah, okay, Christopher Mayer, okay, he covers the Flyers, and he says, he's hearing that the Flyers have been working on some ways to acquire the 11th pick in the draft from the Sabres without using their own 12th in the draft, and they do have ongoing interest in Peyton Krebs. So, I mean, could the Sabres be looking at a, don't quote me, don't radio me on this, but could it be the 11 pick? Could it be a Peyton Krebs? Is there something else that goes along? Maybe you're getting a Travis Konechny coming the other way? Now,
I Danny well. Don't you believe him that he wants to keep Konechny for his career?
I would think that that's the type of player that he would absolutely love to keep. But if Konechny says, you know what, I'd like to go somewhere else and I want to get a new opportunity, and you say, okay, let me maximize this if I can. It's been very quiet on that front, right? But I'm sure that there's plenty of teams right now that are being rumored that of in those type of trades. And I like that when I hear many Eastern Conference teams. Why? Because that means, hey, if you're Buffalo and Kevin Adams, you can't sleep at the wheel because all these teams around you are looking to make deals, right? And
right.
You have to get better because nobody else is going to help you get better. You have to make those deals happen.
Right. And we've heard Darren Dreger talk about this a lot. And I think common sense would also lead one to believe that Montreal's likely in a position to make some sort of significant move. They have a surplus of young defensemen, capable at, you know, at least young defensemen. And remember Slafkovský quietly ended up putting together a very strong season last year. And if they are able to add a little bit more in the way of offense, they will be poised to make a pretty big jump next year too, in my opinion. So it's all, you know, going to play out here over the next 7 days as far as, you know, the first wave, we hope, of transactions and then the draft itself next Friday and Saturday. I always have to remember what day it is to then try to.
It's usually Thursday, Friday. This year, it's Friday, Saturday in Vegas.
Still,
they do it different.
It's still the favorite end of a show we've ever had together. When you and I were muttering about, are we on tomorrow? What day of the week is
it? Like, no, it's Thursday. No, it's Friday. No, we were Wednesday.
We were wrong in that your son immediately texted you after to tell you, like, Dad, how do you not know what day
it is? I know. Oh. It's summertime.
Oh, man. All right. Well, we have the first of our special guests here on Sabres Live coming up, but not before this reminder to plan accordingly for the fall. Season memberships for the Sabres start at $57 a game for seats in the lower bowl, and you can get closer to the action, can enjoy exclusive access, perks, and experiences. Visit sabres.com/join.
So, I mean, I really like Zach Benson. I don't know that he's going to be there at 13. I mean, I've seen mock drafts with him as late as like 17 and as early as six. But that's a guy, you know, I mean, he played with Matt Savoy this year in Winnipeg and he looked unbelievable.
That is our Sabres Live Director of Amateur Scouting, Daniel Armbruster, who is, of course, legendary for being the Rochesterian that he is, the lead singer of Joywave, the big-time Sabres fan, and he's with us once again, trying to go 3 for 3 in consecutive years as to what the Sabres will do in round one at the draft. Daniel, how are you?
I'm good. How are you? Can you guys hear me?
Oh, yeah, loud and clear. Loud, you got the best mic in the business. I love it.
Audio professional, right?
This and is the acoustics are perfect. Yes.
Podcasting setup.
You've never sounded better. This is amazing. So
his microphone is probably worth more than our setup, like together.
It's an SM7B, guys. Come on.
Okay. So
you want one? I'll set you guys up.
I can talk goalie equipment, but the microphone equipment, I'm a little lost.
What is that? So. You got like a USB? Is that like a Blue Yeti you got over
there?
It's
a Blue Yeti. You got it. See, he knows his microphone. I like it.
And Duffer is wired on the those are the Lightning ear pods.
The traditional Apple product, yes, from generations of iPhones ago. Yeah.
Do you guys want to know what's going to happen? Is that what's...
Yes, quickly, because the audience has had to wait 16 minutes, you know, here on the top of the show to get your pick.
Oh, breaking news. To the Buffalo Sabres at number 11, please welcome Macklin Celebrini. Now here, let me tell you why. There's a lot of people, not me, a lot of people saying that this kid really wants to play in the KHL next year. Tons of people are saying it. Not me, tons of people. And let's get that started and watch him fall. What do we think?
That's what I do on the show, Daniel. I say many people are saying. So I walk around town. I'm at in public, and people ask me questions. So I come back to the show the next day, and I say, "Hey, many people are saying." Duffer's always saying, "Who's saying?" I'm like, "Many people." So you did the same thing. Like you just put it out there. Many people are saying Macklin Celebrini wants to play in the KHL next year.
Yeah. I love it. Okay, so if that doesn't work, I have a couple backup plans.
Okay.
I'm loving Zeev Bouyam. I think he's probably not going to be there at 11. And Zane Perrick, I also really like. Right shot D, and he probably does a lot of what Bo Byram does. But I think it's when you're at 11, you kind of got to play it out how the draft board falls, right, and take the best player available. And the other kid I really like is Berkeley Catton, which probably a lot of people are going to say, are we really going to take another small forward? But I mean, people were saying that last year, and look at the season that Zach Benson had. I don't think anyone is regretting that pick.
Are you fending off interview requests on a regular basis based on your uncanny ability to be so accurate the past 2 years?
No, it's most of my interviews are still music. Okay. But then you guys asked me to come on before the draft, and I get to talk hockey. It's great.
Okay.
We also, before the show, Marty, right?
Oh,
We said, because of what you have given us the last couple of years, we feel we kind of need to return the favor and perhaps widen your scope, allow more of your knowledge to be shared with Sabres fans.
Sure.
So, because there's so much speculation as to whether Buffalo will actually use the 11th overall pick, we wondered, what if Daniel ventured into the pro scouting side for a little bit here? What would he recommend Buffalo do and acquire if trading the 11th overall pick?
So I got myself into a little bit of hot water on Reddit the other day. We just put out the new Joywave album, and we did a Reddit AMA there. So, you know, I'm in there answering questions all night. I go to bed, I open Reddit, and the algorithm feeds me Daniel Armbruster for GM. And I said, why am I seeing this? And I realize it's not on the Joywave Reddit or the Indie Heads Reddit or the Music Reddit. It's from the Sabres Reddit. And I said, oh, no. And there were like 40 people flaming my takes because I had said, someone said, what should the Sabres do with the 11 overall pick? And I said, just don't trade it for grit. You know, I'm just firing off AMA responses in one sentences. And these people hate my guts.
Oh,
they
no.
were in there he's too busy on tour to watch the team. He's, and you know what? Sometimes they're right. But I don't know what's out there is the thing. And, you know, if you told me that we were going to get Bo Byram for Casey Mittelstadt, I would have said, do that in a heartbeat. You know, that's what happened. But when, before that, when people were saying, are we going to have to trade Casey since we're not going to be able to pay him what he should get, right, and fit him under the cap, I would have said that that's a bad idea. But when I saw Bo Byram coming back, I was like, oh, this is amazing.
Yeah. So, I mean, rumors are going to start flying, right? So that's why Duffer and I will be in Vegas next week. We'll be boots on the ground. We'll report directly to you, Daniel. We'll let you know what the rumor mill is bringing. But if you say, okay, we're trading the 11th pick, and potentially, because Kevin Adams says we're open for business, everything's on the table, could be a prospect, also package, right? You're looking to get the biggest return. Are you looking top six? Is that something you're looking at? You say, okay, who can play left wing with Thompson and Tuck? Or are you looking more third line? What's your approach to where the Sabres should get that return if they were, in fact, trading 11?
You know, I am still not in love with the center depth. When you look at what the teams in the finals have in the way of center depth, I mean, I love Tage. I love Dylan Cousins. But, you know, losing Casey really, really hurt that. And you hope that someone is going to take that spot. But you really don't know where some of these young forwards who aren't that big are going to end up, right? Are they going to end up on the wing? We just don't know. So I don't know. You're probably looking to add a forward, though. I mean, the D depth right now that they have is pretty solid. Yeah. And especially, you know, I mean, I'm talking about Z Booyam or Zane Parrick, but this is a D heavy draft. And again, at 11 overall, you're looking at it and you're saying, I'm taking the best player available because you just don't know how it's going to fall.
So Permanent Pleasure came out just over a month ago. What's the what's behind the name of the album?
Behind the name of the album, the cover art is a cat laying in a sunbeam. Listen, this is a hockey show. We like to make people feel good, but sometimes in our world, it's tough to do that on any given day, right? And there's so much going on, and sometimes we feel it, and it's very heavy. It weighs on us. I found myself over the past couple of years really envying my beautiful ragdoll and Maine Coon just laying in the sunbeam on a particularly stressful day saying, these guys have no idea. and I think it's healthy sometimes to, you know, not do that all the time, but yeah, but to give yourself an hour and say, you know what, I'm just going to lay here and close my eyes and not think about all the bad stuff. And people need to do that, I think, for their own mental health. And, you know, it's good to know what's going on, but you can't do it all the time.
Yeah.
No, the Oilers won game 4 at home after Shania Twain had the pregame concert. Our Lady Peace didn't get it done in game 3, but Shania got it done in game 4. So I'm saying, you know, I'm thinking next year, the year after, whenever it happens, you know, Stanley Cup final in Buffalo, either game 1 or 2 or game 3 or 4. Do you want to be the first act to start, like either game 1 or game 3, and Joy Wave is on stage out in Canal Side and let's get the party going? Or do you want to go second and say, you know what, let me really launch this and we're going to win with my performance?
I think we're saving Joy Wave as a reserve pick me up, right? Because if they're out of the gate just flying, Let's let the boys do their thing. But, you know, we need to pick me up partway through. Joy Wave's going to be there.
Oh, I thought I like you were going to say we would hold you for the parade.
Or we do that. By the way, while I'm here, when we get into goal songs this year,
yes,
I think UPL deserves to have one. If you go through the list last year, the goalies were not allowed to pick.
With the Bandits.
Yeah, you're right, Duffer, because yeah, they do have a goal song for Vincey, for Vince for the Bandits. So I think that's a good pick. And just to get to know a little bit of their music personality, what would they want it to play?
What would they want?
Like exactly. A pitcher with a bat up, like maybe they're never going to go up to bat and walk up song, but you never know when they're going to say, we need a bat and just go, and then they have their walk up song.
Yeah, what would your goal song be, Marty?
Oh boy. I, you know what? I'll say this. I am a big nerd, and I would pick, like, I love when Victor had the ABBA song, you know, I would pick something that would have a massive beat, like that would just get the crowd going. It maybe not even a personal favorite, but I would do research, but it would lean into the ABBA or the disco or the boy band of the 90s. Like, that's where it would lead into.
That would be good. Also, while I'm here, I have to thank Marty because I got a cameo from Marty to analyze my fantasy hockey championship.
That was yours?
It was me, yeah. Didn't you like it?
I loved it, yes. That was awesome.
You nailed it, and I didn't even realize that Marty was like, you know, Daniel, your team's at a disadvantage because Georgiev is probably not going to play all these games. Like, yeah, he's probably going to get in there, and I was like, oh my God, he's right. I spent more time on Cameo than looking at the schedule this week. And I lost. Oh, I lost. Jeff won. You were right. Jeff had the advantage. It was great.
Hey, how about this? You talk about, I'm glad I got to pick the winner. I did pick Florida in seven, so I'm hoping that, like, we get a game seven on Monday. That would be fun. But you talk about goal song for goalie. Okay, now off the top of my head, I'm like, I'd pick Bye 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 by NSYNC, because if I scored, it'd be an empty net goal. It basically would be telling the other team, bye, 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 see you later. Like, yeah. We've got you out. Duffer always says empty netters are for winners. So that would be the one.
That's solid.
Tour starts September 11th in Toronto. You visit Buffalo at the Town Ballroom on October 18th. Ooh. What's happening in the meantime with the Permanent Pleasure now out?
We are focusing on getting ready for the tour, working on the production and all that. And last time when Cleanse came out in 2022, we hit the road like 2 weeks after the record was out. And, you know, people were excited to hear the new songs, but we found when we went back out the following fall, 6 months later, everyone was like, you know, this song is the one I really connect with. And it takes time, I think, for music to kind of permeate and for people to have the relationship with it in their life. Mm-hmm. Everyone's busy. So I think we wanted to wait a little bit this time before going out.
We got to match the Sabres schedule in October to your Town Ballroom appearance and seeing if it's the day before, the day after,
yeah,
the day of. Like, we got to figure it out so we can, you know, bring all the Sabres fans to the concert and have maybe a opening of the season type party.
Yeah, I hope we're not in competition. I didn't check the schedule for that.
Not out yet. So we know we're in Europe, you know, the week before, like 2 weeks before that, but it's not out yet. So
we're going to Europe after that. Yeah. So that would have been really fun if that lined up. But
yeah, absolutely. Great insight on the scouting side, the life side, the hockey side, the music side, of course. Daniel, thank you for this. We'll see you soon.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Daniel Armbruster from Joy Wave. We're back after this. Shayna Goldman in her regular time slot here on a Friday on Sabres Live.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Future podcast material recorded once again in the commercial break as Shayna Goldman warming up for her Friday appearance. Shayna, you are on fire and ready to roll. Where is your first hot take emanating from?
Oh my God, how can I not be on fire, like ready to roll? Okay, I love the energy of Sabres Live on a Friday. Where are we taking it first? Can I start with the Stanley Cup final and why?
Yeah.
Okay. My issue is not the time between games, because this is the largest travel ever in a Stanley Cup final, right? And the players are saying that's difficult on them. We should be directing our anger in other areas, like the fact that it's this late in the season, the fact that the NHL scheduled it before each series ended in six, because it could have started, 6 days earlier. But how about the fact that the season starts so late? Why are we not starting on October 1st and everything can end earlier and then everything's not so squashed together? Because between the final, then the awards, then the draft, then free agency, we're all going to be melted by the time, like, July 1st is an important day. Who's going to have the brain cells left?
Okay, it's easy. October 1st, the season starts. April 1st, the playoff starts. Like, you have dates and it's easy. April, May is the playoffs. Yeah. June is getting ready for the draft and, you know, buyouts and whatever, qualifying offers. And then July, In Canada, they don't like July 1 for free agent frenzy because it's Canada Day and the 4th of July is happening a few days later. So make it July 10th or whatever. And then you're done. Or maybe even June.
Move June 30th.
No,
right?
Move it up. Yeah, move it up a couple of days and then you're done. I agree. But the good thing because there's so much going on right now, we get final, we get talk about the draft, free agency, and we got trades on Wednesday. So I'll ask you, is Jacob Markstrom worth way more than what the Devils ended up paying to acquire him?
Absolutely, yes. I know it's tough because like he is 34 years old. I'm sorry if you hear the dogs. They have a lot of thoughts on this in the background. Very, very, very passionate about Jacob Markstrom, apparently. But so, listen, the salary retention, that's worth something in today's game. The fact that he's coming off an outstanding season pre-deadline, you look at it, I remember Evolving Hockey's model favored him a lot more than some of the other public models, and it was because of the saves he was making off defensive breakdowns and giveaways within 10 seconds of the shot and things like that, which is pretty perfect for the Devils, right? Everybody knew the Devils need a goalie, so you should have been able to leverage that, and it feels like there was probably a better deal on the table at the deadline. The Flames just killed all their leverage, especially when Markstrom spoke about the process, so... Mm-hmm. It's a tricky thing. And there's multiple goalies available on the market. So the Flames, again, I feel like are blowing their opportunities to maximize these big name players that'll really help facilitate their retool. And they're just overplaying their hand each time. So I do think they should have gotten more back.
For both of you, do we believe that Wolf and Vladar will be the tandem for the Flames, or will they seek another, you know, short-term veteran like a Cam Talbot on a 1 year?
Shayna, ladies first, and you're probably the expert on most of the things, so I'm going to let you go, but I because also I have to go back and find an email I just sent yesterday that I had a list of goalies for different teams, and I think I listed one for Calgary, so let me go to that. You go first.
Okay. Yeah, see, this is something I'm working on next week, so I haven't, like, thought too much about what they should do. Now, it's interesting because I don't think that they should spend too much, right? They should be focusing on things like offense and finding a forward who will click with Jonathan Huberdeau and trying to maximize that and getting those young towns, because they said it's not a full rebuild, right? It's a retool. So you have to be very, very, very careful to make that actually click, because I think sometimes retools go south and now it's an extra 2 years on your rebuild that were never necessary in the first place. I don't think it's anything wrong with getting a cheap goaltender. There aren't amazing options. I would look at someone like Stolarz. I think he's one of the better backups out there, mm-hmm. you know, and he could be a 1B. That would probably be my vibe. And I would trust him with Dustin Wolf, and then you also have that option in case you see Wolf isn't ready, so you could toss him down to the AHL if he needs a little bit more seasoning, because we all know no one knows how to judge goaltending and their readiness.
Okay, I found my email. So when it comes to the Calgary Flames, I put a name, Philip Gustafson, next to the Flames. And I think, look, they got Marc-Andre Fleury now signed another year in Minnesota. They got Jesper Wallstedt coming through the system, and I think that they can elevate Wallstedt to play a year with Fleury and learn from Fleury and move on from Gustafson. Get him to Calgary. It's the Gustafson and Wolf with Vladar being number three. And again, if Wolf doesn't pan out, you let him play in the American League. You have Vladar and Gustafson. I think that would be something that could happen. But again, that's in my goalie carousel crazy mind, because I've got like Stolarz going to Toronto. I'm like, well, you know, Toronto is going to need a goalie, and Joe Woll is going to be okay, but who's the best 1B option out there? And it's probably a guy like Stolarz. I got Freddie Anderson going back to Anaheim, because I don't think that Carolina wants to keep him, but it's a swap between Gibson and Anderson. So I got Gibson going to Carolina as an insurance policy. So I'm just crazy in that mode. But
no,
yeah,
I like these. I like all. I like you. I literally, as you're saying them, I'm like, yep, this clicks. Because like Gibson, give him a good defense. Let's see how he could be. And I like the idea of Gustafson to Calgary, because what's the worst that happens? He's bad for the next 2 years of his contract. Good. You'll get a better pick if you're the Flames, which, I mean, you should have 10 overall right now for trading Markstrom, and you blew that opportunity.
Right. This is a piggyback off of yesterday. Darren Dreger was with us, and he was kind of thinking that the Kings may not be done, even though they acquired Kemper. Like, he's not 100% sold that they're just going to go Kemper Riddick. What do you think of that?
It's tricky, because to me, Kemper had a bad year, right?
Yes.
That's it. He was great the year before that. He was great in Washington. He was great the year before that in Colorado. Of course, the eye injury in the playoffs, different conversation. But, like, he's a legitimately good goalie, and he's very good at handling chaos. We've seen him play behind some really bad defenses and do well, and we've seen him play behind a team like Colorado where they didn't need him to be perfect, right? So I feel like the Kings could be a pretty good fit for him, and I like him as a bounce-back candidate. But do you want to fall into the same position that you did last year? Probably not. Then again, if I'm the Kings, that's not my focus right now. That's a later problem. If you have to add someone cheap at a later date, go off. But I'm focusing on, one, signing Byfield and getting that out of the way because I'd be worried about an offer sheet. And two, finding a good offensive player to elevate this team, because we see how good they were defensively post-coaching change, but that dragged down their offense. And the problem they ran into in the postseason, they can't outscore their problems, right? So if they could have a really great offense to go with that good defense, the goaltending's not as important. And you could go with Riddick and Kemper and feel pretty good.
I was going to go more Saber-centric, but you'd mentioned an offer sheet with Quentin Byfield. He was on my list of players to trade for or offer sheet, right? When you look at the Buffalo Sabres, Marty Natchez's name has been brought up as, obviously someone that the Carolina Hurricanes are going to look to move, but maybe they get nothing in return because, well, a draft pick in return because maybe it's an offer sheet. Do you think that's the way to go this summer? Teams are going to be a little bit more cutthroat, in a sense, with offer sheets and trying to acquire players that way?
No, I hope. No. Listen, it'd be great. I keep thinking about it. I'm like, I'm getting into like my bachelor mindset of like all the men and women that get there and they're like, I'm not here to make friends. Like, they have their eye on the prize. And NHL general managers do not have that ruthlessness. They do it sometimes with their players, but not with other general managers. The only team I could see every general manager agreeing to be mean to is Vegas, because everybody's always upset with Vegas. And like, I get it. But at a certain point, you're like, yeah, but you also have 30 other competitors. So why not be a little bit ruthless and go for it? If I'm a team right now, I'm looking at guys like Lindell, because you know the Panthers cap crunch, or Holloway, who you could probably get for the compensation price of a second round pick. But if I'm the Sabres, it's really interesting because they have a lot of their own picks. They have the picks that a lot of teams don't have to be able to afford all these big offer sheets. And I think that they should go for it, right? There are so many players on the market that you go, that would make sense for them. But the one player who keeps coming front of mind to me for them is Nikolaj Ehlers, because I look at the Sabres roster and I feel like Tuck's a good shooter. And we know our friend Tajay Thompson is a great shooter. We need more playmakers outside of just Dylan Cousins, right? Because you could go Paterka, Cousins, Quinn, and you have a really good second line. Roll with the kids again. But I feel like that top line needs a really good playmaker. And so does the power play to get things going, to get a little bit more movement. So he's the guy I think I'm leaning on first and foremost. But if not, why not go for an offer sheet? You have the picks and you have the cap space that most teams don't.
Tying in, with bold decisions, obviously, at some point here, we're going to enter the buyout window. And as you know, probably the biggest talking point right now as it pertains to the Sabres fan base is, what will they do with Jeff Skinner? What do you think is going to happen with Skinner and the Sabres?
I think the only way you consider a buyout is if you know you're replacing him, right? You're going after a Laine, you're going after an Ehlers, you're going after an Natchez, right? To make it all click, to find that top six winger, because we've seen Skinner's usage drop a little bit because his game has declined. But if not, I don't think it's a decision that has to be made this year necessarily, unless there's a real plan in place, because you can't afford to knock out any offensive creators when that's what the Sabres struggled with the most last year. So if there is a very good plan in place, I think that there's an argument to be made, despite the wrinkles this might create in the locker room and, all of that, right? There's the human element of it that we can't forget. But if there is a way to replace and elevate what he brings to the lineup, then it could be a good business decision.
Let me go back to Nick Ehlers a little bit, because that works into the Skinner conversation. And who knows, maybe the buyouts don't start until next Wednesday, because if there's a game 7 Monday, 48 hours later is Wednesday. We're in Vegas 2 days away from the draft, and the buyouts are happening at the same time as the draft. The Winnipeg Jets don't have a first round pick this year. Would the Sabres 11th pick be too much, or would you have to package something else with Ehlers, or could you go Ehlers for the 11th overall?
I like that, actually, because you know what, like, the value of a draft pick when you're top five, you're talking like absolutely huge, right? Those are the potential game breakers. You look at like the first 7 years of their career and the value of a draft pick, and someone who's drafted 1 to 5 not only brings a ton of value in those first 7 years, but they do it quicker than others. That's the magic of it, right? But when you're a team like the Sabres and you have a lot of young up-and-coming talent, they have all these players who are joining the lineup, like Zach Benson, Lance Steer, or are getting ready to, you know, make that cut, I think that that value of a draft pick isn't as valuable to you, right? Because you want to be good right now. You want to turn it around quicker. So I think that would actually be pretty good for the Jets, because maybe they feel like if they pick that high, which is not something they generally are going to be able to do if they're a playoff team and now and in the future, you think, why not go for it? Because you can get a difference maker that means a lot more to them versus what it might mean to the Sabres right now. So I don't hate that one-for-one idea, but one-for-one trades are so spicy and so tricky that I would feel like it'd be like Ehlers in like a sixth just to balance the draft capital out, because that's like how it works a lot of the time.
Ehlers and a dozen sticks. Let's make it happen. I'll take the dozen sticks. I need them.
No sticks were exchanged in the PLD Kemper deal.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's wild. It's wild. Like, I think we always, to your point, Shana, we want to add like a little something to somehow make it look balanced. I don't even know what this looks like. Like, I actually think this could work out pretty well for the Capitals.
Yeah. The Capitals, see, here's the thing. One, they're betting on the 25-year-old. I like that bet for them. Two, they don't need Kemper because they trust Lindgren. And I would be totally okay with that decision. The other thing is, even the later years of the contract that might not age well, if they can't fix, you know, Dubois, which many teams have failed in the past. So there's that. And obviously the Capitals are flawed in themselves. By the time their big contracts expire, you already have Oshie's coming up. You're going to have Ovechkin off the books. You're going to have John Carlson off the books. You can have a bad contract and work a team around it, right? Like, look at Jamie Benn and Tyler Seguin's deals. Nobody wants those, but they make the team work around it. The Capitals could do that. And the fact that they've been like accumulating all these draft picks and they didn't use them the way I think we all thought when they were retooling last year, you go, you could have a lot of entry-level deals in a couple years to balance out that $8.5 million cap hit as the cap rises if he doesn't hit his ceiling, which I have a hard time seeing him doing. But what do they need more than anything? Centers. So why not?
Who wins tonight? Game 6, Oilers, Florida Panthers. I said this or that. Can McDavid win the Conn Smythe in a losing manner, or do the Oilers come back and win the cup in 7 games? Like, which one's most likely to happen?
McDavid winning the Conn Smythe, which I really think it's tough for a losing team to win it, but I think he's been that outstanding. I have a hard time seeing the Panthers losing 3 straight, but then again, it would be so like emblematic of like their entire regular season when you think of like the highs and lows and the fact that they crashed and here they are back to life. Like, if we get that in the postseason, come on. That's the drama I'm craving.
Well, we can revisit how it all ends next Friday when you join us as we are right in the heart of the draft in Vegas. Shana, have a great weekend.
Thanks, you too.
Shana Goldman from The Athletic. We're back after this on Sabres Live.
Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Happy birthday, Jochen Hecht. It's too bad the show doesn't run right up to the 55th minute of the hour to have a true recognition of 55 in the Goathead uniform. But,
and it's too bad that we don't have a sound effect that could clearly sound the blades, the T-blades that Yo-Yo used to wear, the... The guy would be trying to sneak up on the forecheck, and the D would be like, I know I'm under pressure from about 12 to 15 feet because I could hear number 55 with his T-blades coming after. But what a good guy. And I do hope we get to see him in Germany this year when the Sabres play there in preseason.
Which individual is under the most pressure in Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Final tonight?
Oh, man. I'm not even going to say Leon Draisaitl because I think the Oilers can win.
Yeah, I was leaving the German-to-German segue.
Yeah, but
there.
I'm not going to say Draisaitl because Connor McDavid and Stuart Skinner do their thing. The Oilers are fine. The depth will help. I think Barkov, and not a lot of people are talking about, Barkov in Game 3 got hit hard by Draisaitl, no suspension, and they lost 2 in a row, and Barkov has not looked himself. I think there's a lot of pressure on Barkov now that Game 6 is in Edmonton.
More than goalie Bob?
Yeah, goalie Bob is goalie Bob. He'll be fine. But I, you know, it is the Oilers and McDavid.
Wow. What a weekend it should be. We'll see you Monday.